With Paladin, yearling, yearling, you. With Paladin, yearling, yearling,
Snacken, sahing a sang you, Camarier, a small tree, scanning your room.
There's a ring, yearing, yearing, you,
Those are the Celtic voices of Roddy McInnes and friends from one of the last Gaelic communities in North America. This is Rock Meets Bone. I'm Brian Guns. Scottish Gaelic is a founding language in Nova Scotia. Its survival down to the present as a community language is one of the little-known cultural and social miracles of our time. Nowhere within the province has Gaelic life been more completely maintained than in the Glendale area of Cape Breton's Inverness County, a region whose economy has always been based on the primary industries of agriculture and forestry. Here, the Gaelic community of Glendale maintains its traditions of singing, dance, storytelling, wit, and Scottish violin music. Within Gaeldom, the most meaningful expression of culture is a social one, with common living memories and skills shared in a way which all can enjoy. For our portrait of this small rural community, we have brought together Gaels who have shared the poetry, excitement, and depth of their traditions on countless occasions. Patrick McEachern, Jimmy McKay, and Johnny Joe MacDonald are joined by the widely known Middle Cape storyteller Joe Neil McNeil for folk tales, humorous anecdotes, and local history. Singer Roddy McInnes with his store of local and old world songs, and Alec Francis McKay, a fine Gaelic stylist on the violin, accompanied on piano by Natalie McMaster. The format and English summaries are by Jim Watson and John Shaw of Cape Gael Associates Cooperative. They all gathered together in St. Mary's Parish Hall in Glendale on a bright Saturday afternoon in September
1989.
River Denny's Mountain is located between Judick and Glendale parishes in Inverness County, Cape Breton. Highland immigrants settled there in the early 1800s, mainly families from Moidart and South Uist. These families are still vividly remembered by Gaelic-speaking area residents to the present day. Johnny Joe MacDonald, whose own father was from River Denny's Mountain, speaks of these families, MacDonalds, Camerons, Morrisons, MacLeods, and others. He speaks of their hardships, their way of life, and why they chose to move down the mountain to more fertile areas.
Hugh
MacDonald, or Eugene MacDonald, a Highland settler from South Uist, was one of the founding pioneers of the River Denny settlement. Johnny Joe MacDonald, a direct descendant of Hugh, recites a historical story concerning the survival of Oog and his mother when they were caught in a blizzard on top of the mountain. Oog, attempting to light a fire to keep them warm, found his tender too wet to ignite. After sleeping for a while with a tree fungus drying under his arm, they awoke, started a fire with the fungus, and survived the storm.
Well, and then it's like me and them colleagues and Flint did it.
Patrick McGeachern, known to Gaelic speakers as Patrick Ernishina, lives down beside the river in the middle of Glendale. It was passed down to him through his family how his great-grandfather, Gillespie Ban, or Fair-haired Archie, settled the area, coming over from the mainland of the Western Highlands in Scotland. They said in those days that the trout were so plentiful in the river that you could hardly see the bottom for them, and while they were clearing the woods, they would usually quit just before noon, go and fish enough for dinner and for their supper, and go back to work shortly after noon. The first planting that the Gaelic-speaking settlers did in Glendale was by the Cullyagu, or black forest, or burnt forest method. The trees would be cut down and burned, and then they'd plant potatoes on the burned patches around the stumps. These potatoes were supposed to be extremely good, and as they cleared their farms, going further and further, the first crop would be potatoes. This would then be followed by oats. Jimmy McKay from nearby Kingsville describes the process of building a house for the pioneers. The first part was to take the lumber, the logs, down to the sawmill, and if you didn't have the money to pay for getting the boards sawed, you would leave half of the lumber at the mill and take the other half back. All in all, building a house was not a very costly process. Then you would either hire a carpenter, or carpenters in the family would frame the house. When it came to digging out the foundation, very often neighbors helped each other, and the only large costs in the process were for things like nails. Skill in carpentry has always been highly regarded in Gaelic society, and has in fact given rise to a whole series of stories about a highly skilled and crafty carpenter called Boppen Suid. Joe Neal's story concerns one occasion where Boppen Suid was working in his carpentry shop, and word came to him that two strangers from some distance off were coming to see how good a carpenter he actually was. Boppen Suid wasted no time, but turned to his apprentice and said, "Let's switch clothes. You be Boppen Suid, and I'll be the apprentice." So they did, and by the time the strangers had arrived, Bappan Sood was up working on a handle for an adze, while the apprentice was stretched out in Bappan Sood's clothes on the bench, taking it easy. The strangers came in and didn't say much, but just watched Bappan Sood working on the adze handle. He'd take the small plane and plane it down, and then he'd look at the head of the adze, and then he'd go back to the handle, and he'd work back and forth that way, until finally he was satisfied with the shape of the adze handle. The head of the adze was clamped in a vise at the other end of the work table, so when Bappan Sood had finished the handle, he threw it toward the head of the adze. The handle went right into the eye and stuck there. The strangers both got right up and walked out without saying any more. And when they were outside, one turned to the other and said, "What do you think of that?" And the other said, "Don't even bother to talk about it anymore. If that's what the apprentice could do, imagine what kind of carpenter Bappan Sood is."
Other types of stories popular among Cape Breton Gaels involve humorous anecdotes whose central characters are known as the Amiten Gleich, or the wise fools, invariably a witty bunch. Though it's been a number of years since Don Ewan Dean, Don McGuinness of Little Judick, died, Jimmy McKay of Kingsville recalls Donald's wit. On one occasion, Don Ewan Dean, or Don McGuinness, visited the McKay household in Kingsville. Don Ewan Dean and Jimmy's father, being as how it was a hot summer's day, took a little while in the shade, talking about old things, old customs that people had. One of the topics that came up was that of alcohol being present at funerals. Jimmy's father took this occasion to ask Don Ewan Dean if he would be willing to have alcohol present at his own funeral. "Indeed I would," replied Donald. "On the way there, I wouldn't be coming back with them anyway." Mabu in Inverness County was the former site of the county's insane asylum. Don Ewan Dean, walking by the asylum one day, decided to visit in on a friend of his. Arriving in, his friend took him out back to show him where the pigs were being raised. He praised the pigs, asking Donald if he didn't think that they were beautiful. Don Ewan Dean, not being a farmer by any means, thought about this for a minute and didn't say anything. "Indeed, Donald, don't you think these are lovely pigs?" Don Ewan Dean then replied, "Why shouldn't they be? The county supports them and lunatics feed them."
Since the arrival of Gaelic-speaking settlers in Cape Breton, violin music has always been a mainstay of the culture. From the beginning, it has been closely interwoven with song, and even, in some cases, with stories going with the tunes. The tunes have had Gaelic names, and there was a specialized vocabulary for violin playing among Gaels. Alec Francis MacKay of Kingsville is one of the few remaining active Gaelic-speaking fiddle players. He plays in a purely Gaelic style, which came down through his people, and still remembers the Gaelic names for many of the tunes. He's closely related to the late Denrory MacDonald of Judick, one of the major Scottish fiddle music composers of this century. The tunes that Alec Francis is going to play came from his long association with Denrory, and are Denrory's own compositions. Thank you. The expression "slánt a vóir," to your health, may go back as far as the 45, and to this day is used among Gaels and company as the refreshments are passed out. The distilling of whiskey among Gaels in Cape Breton has always been part of the way of life. It was passed down through families or through communities from the time of settlement and attained a level of considerable artistry. There were people in the surrounding area who were known to have made their living from this trade alone and done very well by it. Jimmy McKay of Kingsville, from his youth, remembers the activity of many people distilling whiskey and is able to tell us in some detail how this was done traditionally.
And it was right here when you a skill at it through Yan. Mushkandar and Tony Kim was one Donella, so it's Christian Moore and Jeffers.
Many people in the Glendale area were skilled in the art of making moonshine. It was held that this product was rated as superior to its government-controlled counterpart, not to mention its advantages as a money saver. Making moonshine entailed a great deal of work. Barley was soaked, prepared, and dried. It was then soaked again until it became swollen and spread on a mat and dried. This process was repeated as many as 3 times to ensure potency. The material became the mash and was combined with molasses and warm water to brew for a few days. It was then distilled or run from a pot placed on a low fire for an appropriate length of time. To check its potency, a wee drop was thrown on the fire. If it burnt or burst into flame, you knew you had something good. All this activity, of course, has ceased out of respect to the legal authorities. Moonshining experiences have been the source of many Gaelic song compositions. Roddy Alec McGuinness of Kingsville sings a song composed by his uncle, Tudamach Shess, about a person jailed for making moonshine. This person states that Bennett's Law has placed him behind bars, and when the delegation goes to complain, he'll be the first one there. In the chorus, he states, "Indeed, I have to swear off drink."
Minister fees and the rain and bound. Shade the rocker king, your husband, round.
Sings me gooey the harsh and the high at the narsh, Johannur in Gonger and son of us, me thou, shed the rock of key, up the screw in down. In is the freeze and the rain and down, shed the rock of key, up the screw in down. San o'rin gael ie, o chadrw i mi ddi, o hytrin ffyrru sgil, o sien gael y fusawn. Tred yn o'r cyrti, yn ysgwy yn drawn. Mi nes y ffris a thyrin yn bewn. Tred yn o'r cyrti, yn ysgwy yn drawn. San ac yn y sag tianoch, er o wog eich benod. O ma ffyrru gyrin, a mi sied yn hewn. Tred yn o'r cyrti, yn ysgwy yn drawn. Mi nes the freeze at the rain and bell.
Music of Alec Francis McKay and Natalie McMaster bringing the program to a close, we'd like to thank all the participants, especially John Shaw and Jim Watson of Cape Gale Associates Cooperative for coordinating this event. We'd also like to thank Bruce Walkup for his valuable technical assistance, and the Beaton Institute and the University College of Cape Breton for their support and encouragement. Rock Meets Bone is produced with the assistance of the Naropa Institute of Canada. Thanks for listening.